How are you? How's everything going? Did you see the email I sent you? Oh, I sent you one. They were showing the pictures of the march in Tehran, in Iran.
No.
Different cities, Mashhad, Isfahan, all the pictures. I thought you'd enjoy to see that.
No, I didn't see them.
Especially I saw Maidan-e-Imam in Isfahan. Huge. Full of people.
But I didn't see them.
Oh, maybe I sent it on Friday. Maybe you didn't have time yet to look at it.
No, because I checked all my emails.
Yeah.
I just received one email
that
you last
talked
to you.
Yes. So after that?
No.
I got it and I thought, oh, Sheikh would like to see that. I thought maybe you were there already.
I will have a little look inshallah.
Right now.
Okay, thank you.
Did we finish lesson 8 last time? Anyone remember? So we are at the beginning of chapter 9. We have to discuss chapter 9. In the previous chapter, we discussed about Hesab and other stages that went before that, like Sirat and Mizan and other things. Now, one of the last stages of our movement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards our final destination is revelation of personality. Of course, you remember we mentioned that the moment we die, our personality gradually starts to reveal itself in its true, with its true attributes. However, this final revelation is when people are exposed to themselves at the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the most difficult stages of human journey towards God. And this is what even the prophets, the imams, were very worried about. And one very important thing that usually they mentioned about Day of Judgment and its very difficult stages was this station of being exposed in presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the inner aspects, all the inner layers of personality of a person would be exposed on that day before Allah, at the presence of Allah. When I say at the presence of Allah, of course Allah is everywhere. At that moment and at that stage, we feel that presence imposing itself upon us. And then at that very moment, it's just like when you go to a very huge crowd of people that you are, you honor very much, respect very much, and suddenly your evil attitudes are exposed before them. Now, you feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however you can do nothing about this exposition of your inner attitude, inner attributes to be revealed before or in presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is called al-arzu ala Allah. In many riwayat we have that stage of al-arzu ala Allah, to be exposed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one verse that we can mention here is just the very meaning of returning to God. When we say we return to God, it means that we come to His presence, we feel the presence, and then at that moment we have to be fearful. Remember, we said the last, one of the opinions about the last verse revealed to the Prophet was this verse 281 of Surah Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Beware of a day in which you will be brought back to Allah. Now, why should we beware? Why should we be fearful of that moment when we are brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's because of what is deposited, what is accumulated inside us and is going to be exposed. Now, more explicit verses about that exposition of personality, exposure of personality before Allah, at the presence of Allah, is in Surah Hud. وَمَنْ عَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. And who is a greater wrongdoer than him who fabricates a lie against Allah? أُولَٰئِكَ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. They shall be presented before their Lord. This arz, of course, here is translated to be presented before their Lord. And what else is that? It's not only the Lord that sees and witnesses that exposure. It's all, there are also other witnesses who see very clearly and who witness against the person. وَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. And the witnesses will say, it's these who lied against their Lord. Look, the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers. Well, here the meaning of curse, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, might mean that Allah is not going to cover for them. They are exposed in a way that their evils are witnessed by everyone. And this is a curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, Allah would somehow do cover up for them, do somehow wouldn't let all these evils to be presented. He would conceal them. Another verse here, which is explicitly talking about this exposure, this presentation before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُرْضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّى. They will be presented before your Lord in rank. صَفَّى means one by one they make a queue, and one by one they go to the Lord. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ بَلْ زَأَمْتُمْ أَلَّنْ نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. Certainly you have come to us just as we created you the first time. Rather you maintain that we had not appointed a price for you. لَمْ نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. Now this مَوْعِد is a promised moment in which human would meet his Lord. This is the مَوْعِد, the place of the appointment, the appointed place where or time where this meeting would happen between Allah and His creatures. Now, you tell me, because all these, you know that the terms used in Quran are very accurate. This term used, أُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّى. They come in a saf. Saf is queue rather than rank. Here it says they will be presented before your Lord in rank. Well, it might be the queue is ordered in a rank, or in order of rank, according to the ranks of the people. However, this queue which is formed there, of course, to look after all these people and to all these people to be exposed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't take much time if Allah wants it to be quick. But what's the meaning of coming in saf, in queue, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what's the meaning of you have come to us the way we created you in the first place? لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Certainly you have come to us just as we created you the first time. Any idea? Two things are mentioned here. One is that they come in a row, in a queue. And the second is that the Lord says, you have come to us exactly as we created you in the first place. Any idea about any of these two?
Well, the second perhaps refers to if you've completely been exposed, then presumably when God created you, you were completely aware of yourself, and then somehow we've been given a birth and we've lost ourselves. So perhaps that's what it means, that, you know, as we created you, you'll be so exposed to yourself that it would be almost like the way God has created you completely. You'll be completely self-aware.
Yeah, this is the meaning. You'll be completely self-aware at that time, and all these illusions will go away. Any other idea? Yes.
Maybe we haven't had a certain that came from the Shia, and then from them came all the way down. If you like, the way you were the first time.
So you mean this saf would mean that people of higher ranks would go first to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be exposed to Him. Because this is for everyone, this arba, to be presented to the Lord. That's why the prophets were very worried about this moment and this stage of Day of Judgment. They were not worried very much about other things. Just being exposed before the Lord was very worrying for them. So it is possible, yeah, that the as-sabiqun, as-sabiqun, those who are ahead of others in this world will be ahead in this queue as well. The fast track, maybe they go through the fast track, we don't know. Yeah. Also, sorry?
There's also that connects both the parts of the verse. You will come to us in the rank as we created you, but that's how we created us first.
Yeah. So you have somehow made a relation between this saf and also the second statement, لَقَدْ جَئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. In different ranks we created you. Now you have come in this queue with different ranks. Yes, please.
So the second relates to Alim al-Alwa and Israel, and we took
out the soul. But remember, now our souls are in bodies. You see? Now, because this is after the day of resurrection, now our souls have come back to body, and we are, of course, new creatures, but the same creatures, but with new characteristics and new attributes. Yes, you want to say something? Is it focused now? Okay. Now, there's another verse. There might be other meaning to these. Because in another verse, it says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَى كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورَكُمْ. You have come completely alone, the way we created you before. Because we were created completely alone. It was us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We didn't have anything of this world. When we came to this world, we didn't have any connection to any property or whatever, any means. This was how we were created. Now you have come to me in the same way. You do not own anything. Now, of course, even now we do not own anything. It's all illusions. But as we heard, illusions would go away. And when we go to the Lord, we see that we do not own anything. That's the moment that Allah will help. When you know that you don't own anything, then of course Allah will help any heart which is capable of receiving that help. Some people say the meaning of أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Who is the one who responds to مُضْطَر. مُضْطَر is someone who doesn't own a means. And the way to receive the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to realize now in this world that you do not own anything. Everything is in His hands. All means are in His hand. Now, when we go to Him and we are exposed, our personality is exposed. The meaning of this exposure is that completely the deepest layers of our personality are put in an exhibition-like type of thing. Everything is exhibited in front of our eyes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, at that moment, we realize that we own nothing. Now, how good it is if we realize that now, that we own nothing. It's all, even our actions, good actions, we should realize that we don't own them. It's all grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we have done them. And it could be very easily destroyed by the simplest mistake that we might make. Yes?
Is that also referring to this situation that I am nothing or nothing?
In Sahifa Tajaliyah.
Yeah. In Sahifa Rafa. says, I am an akalun min akalin. That means the translation I remember says, I am
the least of the least.
Least, yeah, the least of the least.
The least of the least, yeah.
Is it that illusion to that I am nothing?
Actually, the closer people go to Allah, the more aware they become of the nothingness of themselves, and that everything is in His hands. And everything is He, actually, nothing else. Now, in that addition of Dua Arafah, or the completion of Dua Arafah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there's a very interesting statement. It says, Ilahi man kanat mahasinuhu masawi. فَكَيْفَ لَا يَكُونُ مَسَاوِيهَ مَسَاوِيهَ. Oh God, a person whose good deeds are evil. Now you can imagine, I mean, in what vein Imam Hussein is talking, in what direction he's talking. The one whose good deeds are evil, how his evil deeds are not evil. It means that whatever I have done, just because I think that I have done them, they are evil. Because it's illusion. So, what do I owe? وَمَنْ كَانَتْ حَقَائِقُهُ دَعَوِي. Now, this is very interesting. This is why they say, some people say this is an addition of mystics to this Dua Arafah. This controversy, I think, would go until the Day of Judgment. Some people say this is a part of Dua Arafah, some people say this is not a part of Dua Arafah, it's additional mystic, because there are lots of mystical concepts in it. Said, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ. Well, don't mention this in Qom, okay? No, I'm joking, of course. There are people who are completely against mysticism. If you say Imam Hussein was a mystic, you are a kafir. Okay. Now, the statement says the one whose haqa'iq, whose reality, is just a claim. It's alleged reality. There's no reality there. The only reality. So, مَنْ كَانَتْ حَقَائِقُهُ دَعَاوِي فَكَيْفَ لَا يَكُونُ دَعَاوِيهَ دَعَاوِي. Now, how about his claim? If it's, his reality is a claim in itself, how about his claim about this is mine, this is my action, this is my deed? It's all claim. It's claim in claim over claim. So, these are the things that we realize on the day of judgment, and how painful it would be if you are taken suddenly by surprise about all these issues, if you have not cried before for all these things. All these ahadith that we hear very casually, that for example, كُلُّ عَيْنٍ بَاقِيَةٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَةُ أَعْيُنٍ. Every eye would cry on the Day of Judgment except three eyes, and one of them عَيْنٌ بَكَتْ مِنْ حَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, an eye who has cried out of fear of Allah, for hashiyatullah, in this world. Why? Because in this world you have realized yourself that what is the reality. And then when you go there prepared. This exposure is going to be very painful if you are not prepared for it. And as I said, this is one of the most final stages of our journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now again, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةٌ. That day you will be exposed. None of your secrets will remain hidden. Hidden to yourself, hidden to Allah, and hidden to the witnesses. Everything will be exposed on that day. And this is the other verse that I mentioned, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورَكُمْ. Certainly you have come to us alone, just as we created you the first time, and left behind whatever we had bestowed on you. We do not see your intercessors with you. وَمَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شُفَعَاءَكُمْ. These shufa'a, of course, might be the idols that they worship. But whatever we use as a means in this world is a shafi' between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, if I'm thirsty, I want to quench my thirst, I drink this, or I drink water, this is a shafi' between me and Allah. Because everything is done by Allah. These means work as a shafi' between us and Him. And when I drink this and my thirst is quenched, then this is a shafi' between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for quenching my thirst. Anything you want to do, you use a mean, that's a shafi' between you and Allah. And the meaning of this, because this is the pure tawheed, the meaning of this is that nothing will happen in this world except by the power of Allah. The only thing is that you use some intercession, some intercessors between you and Him. And these intercessors will blind your eyes. And you don't realize that it is only Allah who is giving you everything, who is bestowing His grace everywhere, spreading His grace everywhere. Now, in Ayat al-Kursi, which is the gist of the Qur'an, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sanatun wa la nawm, it says, man ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who or what can do this intercession between Him and the creation except by His permission, by His leave? In fact, it means everything is in His hand. If you use a shafi', if you do not realize that this comes from Allah, this is just a mediation between you and Allah, then when you go to the other world and you suddenly realize that, then you are somehow addressed by this verse that وَمَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شُفَعَاءَكُمْ. Where are those shufa'a? As I said, these might mean conceptual shufa'a, the idols that people think would intercede between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also the physical shufa'a. وَمَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شُفَعَاءَكُمْ. And this is how we were created in the first place. الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّهُمْ فِيكُمْ شُرَكَاءَ. You thought that they are partners, our partners, in deciding your fate, or in deciding your well-being, or whatever. Certainly all links between you have been cut. This is the utter truth that you will realize on the Day of Judgment, at this very last stage, at that exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to yourself. لَقَدْ تَقَطَّعَ بَيْنَكُمْ. All means are cut from you now. وَذَلَّ عَنْكُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. And everything, whatever you used to claim, has forsaken you. Nothing else. This, in other words, what this means, you realize the truth of this world. That everything was an illusion, it was only Allah. This is what, of course, some mystics say, according to Wahdatul Wujud. We discussed this, I think, last time. They say everything is an illusion. It's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see these means, of course, but these are all manifestations of it. Yes?
No, in the mysticism they say that fana billah, and then there's a return. When he reaches that state and sort of annihilates himself in God and then returns. Is that what the illusion is? That means he reaches that state in this world where he realizes that everything is a lie, and then he sort of returns, but he's not returning as himself, but he's just basically whatever he does.
They don't return to illusion.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that when they reach the reality, that's when
fana,
they return back from that state.
Fana is actually to free yourself from all illusions.
Yeah.
And when you free from all illusions, you are free from all illusions, then you become, you somehow enter into a vacuum. You don't know what's happening. You only see Allah, nothing else. And then Allah would take charge of you. and he would show you that he would show you his manifestations as well. So it's not coming back to illusion, it's going to a higher level of understanding. And that's in this world, of course. What comes in next world is completely uncomparable, not comparable to what we have in this world.
No, what I meant was, is this the nearest stage in this world to that stage?
Yeah, certainly.
That means...
That fana is the nearest stage to this.
This
it's
world.
Just
yeah.
like a dream of that, what happens there. You see, this life is like a dream of life. It's not real life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ The real life is in the other world. This life is just an image of life, if you wish. Now, about that, again, coming alone. Coming alone doesn't mean really that you go by yourself. Of course you go by yourself, but what mainly is meant here is that your relation with every being is cut now. We shall take over from him what he talks about, and he will come to us alone. Or وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا And each of them will come to him alone on the day of resurrection. Now we know that we don't go alone. We know that all of us go together. What does it mean? Each of them will come alone. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا It means that you have no access to anything else. All the shafa'a that you use in this world are now gone, and you see the direct action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And it also means that nobody else can help you
by yourself. Yeah, I mean, this is some meaning that we can give to it, but not a very accurate meaning. That is true, but there is a deeper layer of meaning underneath. Now, in Surah Taha, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرَمًا فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْأُولَى Now, when we go to our Lord, That's the moment of coming to his presence. This is the meaning of coming to the Lord. As I said, the Lord is everywhere. He's here, he's there, he's in this world, in next world. It's our movement which makes us coming to him, getting distant from him. So the attitude, our knowledge. So when we go to the Lord, when we are exposed, then of course, we have two different types of people there. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرَمًا Whoever comes to his Lord laden with guilt, indeed for him shall be hell, where he will neither live nor die. لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى A very beautiful expression. He would neither live nor die. What does it mean? Yes.
Actually, I was going to ask you to expand on that point. Whether, you know,
there's
sort of states of life and death.
لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. Neither death nor life. What does it mean? Sleeping. Huh? Between death and life is sleep, isn't it?
It means that keep on living and keep on dying.
Keep on. It says they don't die.
No,
you can't say they keep on dying.
Dying and then revive by...
No, it says there's no death.
No, I mean in a physical sense. The way we understand death.
Suspended animation.
Hmm? Suspended what?
Animation,
yes. Yes? No, this is... Oh, that die before you die is of course a very high stage of spirituality. You somehow die from your illusions, die from your attachments, and then you die physically. you first you die spiritually and in terms of your attitude, and then you die physically. But this is completely different.
Spiritually, I'm not dead, you're not dead either. You're like, I don't know. You feel very unconscious. You're just neutral, yeah.
You're neutral. But what does it mean? Yes, Safa.
You were saying once that it's not possible for a soul to die, and I pray that every soul is eternal. It just will not die, and even those people in hell will wish they could die, but it's not possible. So that's the meaning of will not die, they just won't. But at the same time, the existence in hell is not life, it can't be called that. Because there's nothing beautiful in it, there's nothing joyous in it, there's nothing in that that could be called life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first thing that we establish is that there's no death. In hell, people wish 1,000 times a day that how good it was if they died. But there's no death. And there's a metaphorical type of expression in hadith that on the day of judgment, they'll bring death like a goat, and they will slaughter it. And they say, did everyone see that the death is now dead? So there's no death after this day. This is, of course, good news for Ahlul Jannah, bad news for people of Jahannam. Yes.
In this context, when we talk about death, we mean moving from one state to another. But we don't mean that there will be no movement from any state to eternal that you meet it. Life, on the other hand, is movement from one state to the other in a progression. If you look at it that way, what you're saying is that it's trapped forever. You're not moving forward, you're not moving.
Now, here death means termination. Of course, usually by death we mean termination of life. And of course we know that our death in this world is not termination of life. But here the sentence we understand that it means termination of a creature. And it says there's no termination. It goes on. Although they like to die, and we have in the Quran, وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ, they call to Malik, the chief of Jahannam, that let your Lord kill us, let finish us, or ask him to finish us, but it's not possible. Now, as Safra said, it's not life, actually, because life means mercy, life means joy, life means good relations, life means spirituality, life means knowing God. All these things, they do not exist in Jahannam. So it's not life. It's just a torture which is going on. So this is why the verses La Yamun Fiha. First of all, let me tell you, they don't die. They are going to, they are not terminated. They are going to be there forever. And of course, that's not life. Do not be confused that when I say they do not die, it means that they are living. No, they are not living. Only a torture. Like, for example, in Surah Waqi'a, we have about the shade which exists in Jahannam. However, that shade, which is due to the black smoke which covers the Jahannam, في سموم وحميم وذل من يحموم, there's a shade that you will see, there's no sun shining, it's all shade in Jahannam, but that is due to a thick black smoke which is covering or capping Jahannam. So, وَذِلٌ مِنْ يَحْمُوْ. But do not be confused, that ذِل doesn't bring any coolness. لَا بَارِدٌ, it's not cool, that because there's shade there, it's not cool. وَلَا كَرِيمٌ, there's no benefit in that shade. It's just capping Jahannam with suffocation, something like that. So here it says, although they are not terminated, but don't think that it is life. It's just torture. So, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمٌ. Yes.
So maybe the torture and the feelings, is that what you're trying to say?
Had no?
Feelings. You don't feel anything.
Then what's the point? If you don't feel anything, I mean... No, it's not. No, it's against all the verses of the Quran. No. I mean, if you are numb, then it's not a torture anymore. Yes.
You mentioned that in hell or in Jahannam there won't be any awareness of God, there will be no mysticism. Is it not the case that one of the, maybe it might be stated, but one of the purposes of hell is actually to make you, to bring realization? You know, for example, we hear that you won't be able to enter paradise with even an iota of pride or kibbutz, and it will only be removed due to the sort of pain of hell, and only then will you be able to enter paradise. So when you say that, okay, that there's no life, but isn't one of the purposes of hell to actually bring about awareness in that person? Or
yes, to bring, but it is very difficult. It takes time.
Yeah.
The point is that these people have turned away from God to themselves. In fact, they have turned away from reality to illusion. And now to bring them out of that illusion would take, in this world it's very easy, in that world it's very difficult, because it has somehow imprinted inside the soul, and it's very difficult to separate it. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا, and whoever comes as a mu'min, however, not simply mu'min, but قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, to him with faith, and he has done righteous deeds. For such shall be the highest rank. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْأُولَىٰ. In fact, after we meet the Lord, we go to him, we are exposed, then we are given our due place. Now another verse which is in Surah Maryam again, أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصِرْ يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا. Now this is a very interesting verse. How well they will hear and how well they will see on the day when they come to us. It's not the eyes that we have on that day, it's not that like these eyes. It's very powerful. The hearing that we have on that day is not like the hearing we have here. The judgment, the understanding, the reasoning, the logic, the irfan, and whatever you can imagine that we have on that day is not comparable at all to what we have here. And this is the meaning of أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصَرْ. How sharp they are in their hearing and in their vision on that day. However, despite all these, لَكِنَ الظَّالِمُونَ الْيَوْمَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, but today the wrongdoers are in manifest error. And this is a paradox. Our every capacity, every gift that we have is sharpened, is intensified to a great extent. Still ظالمون, because of that arrogance and because of turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in fi ظلال مبين, in manifest error. Warn them of the day of regrets. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرَ, when the matter will be decided, that is when we meet and we are exposed, while they are yet heedless and do not have faith. Now, one interesting thing is that if we go to the Lord and we are a zalim, we are still in illusion, we continue our false arguments that we were having in this world. And this, we really cannot understand how it happens. How, for example, if you lie in this world, you continue lying in that world to the Lord. And this is a very complicated issue about how the souls, which have actually come to that realization, they continue with their illusions still. These verses explain that this course of punishment is not a mechanical type of thing, it's not a conventional type of thing, that because you have done this, so I punish you for this. No. The illusion persists, and that illusion would punish you. Yes.
And I thought you said that once we die, or that everybody dies, the reality is manifest itself to every soul. And
yeah.
Then we realize
yes.
Even the soul that has been unjust, as you call it, does not believe that we realize the mistake, because then they realize that today there is no soul. All the lines are supposed to be removed as it were. So is that a contradiction in that and what you're just saying now?
As I said, it's a paradox. You see, you see the reality.
Yes. But you don't accept it.
You cannot help yourself doing the way you were in this world, you see. Despite you, it's just like the when, for example, you know by committing an action you are committing suicide, but still you do it. You cannot help yourself doing it, yes.
Maybe it's not like that. Maybe it is that your actions in this world have made you the way you are. So it's not a question of you doing something else. You are your actions. Your actions are negative, that's
yeah.
what you are.
And
you don't fit in any
you
other
see,
way.
Although you realize that the reality is something else, but still you go against that reality because of your personality, because you have made yourself like that.
Could that be a punishment in itself? That you were given enough chance to stop doing that
yeah.
and carried on, therefore you just carry on doing it.
Yeah, yeah. That is the punishment in itself. That is because you can't help yourself, then God has to remove you from Jannah and put you somewhere that you deserve, which becomes your actions. And in fact, this paradox of how God with His utmost mercy would punish people, which has driven some Christian theologians to deny hell completely, saying that no, there shouldn't be any hell because it contradicts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can explain that in this way, that although, of course, He is the most merciful. However, when you cannot help yourself, then He has to remove you and put you somewhere that you are not destroying others. And then that place, when you just imagine when evils come together, what happened, and if those evils should be controlled. And then if the evils should be removed from these souls, they need some sort of trial. And that's all the punishment that they go through. If we think about it this way, it all makes sense. The hell makes sense then. And it does not somehow stand against the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
Progression in hell, when you move from being low to being something higher, how can there be no life and no death? Because that is what life is, the movement from being low to becoming higher.
You see, even to the just near the toughest level of hell, when you're just on brink of coming out, still that could not be called life. You see, it depends on your definition. If you define life moving from one place to another, okay, that's life. But when we say there's no life, this according to another definition, there's no rahmah there. As Amir al-Mu'mineen says, دَارٌ لَيْسَ فِيهَا رَحْمَةٌ وَلَا يُسْمَعُ فِيهَا دَعْوَةٌ. There's no rahmah in that dar, in that house. And there's no dua would be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of life. We might give to it.
Sheikh, isn't it the case that after a long time, maybe some people will come out of hell?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Isn't that the rahmah itself, that Allah has given them that opportunity?
Of course. It is rahmah, but it's a hidden rahmah. You cannot feel that rahmah in hell. Hell is completely cruelty coming from those very monstrous angels. They are angels, but they are monstrous angels. Punishing people. You never feel rahmah there. However, yes, there is a hidden rahmah bringing you out. And when you come out, then you breathe that rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Mujadala, I think it is, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ the day when Allah would gather all of them, and they swear lies to Him, as they swear lies to you. Now, how is it possible? They see the reality. They see that God knows everything. But still they swear lies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of the personality. And this personality cannot be rectified unless it is put into hell and the evil is extracted out of it somehow.
So, if this world, if you commit sin and keep doing wrong, then basically you are going towards darkness, and that darkness leads to the stage whereby you cannot escape it even through death and to the day of judgment. Is that what you're saying? That is the stage where the wrong
goes. And you have, then you have to go to
repent and are turning back towards God, there is some hope for you.
Yeah.
But as soon as you reach that stage where you don't realize that, then basically it's like a total darkness, and then that will take you right to hell. You won't on the day of judgment, nothing will help you, and you won't be able to do that. Is that how it
works? Yeah. And this idea that people come out of hell is a very old idea, actually. In fact, there is an argument in the Quran between Jews and the Prophet, of course, Allah quotes. وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. They say, fire is not going to touch us
except
for a few days. Now, this was, of course, an idea that people are eventually going to come out of hell. But they were mistaken. They thought that few days is really a few days. Well, it's not a few days. It's still several thousand years. And even 1 minute of that is not tolerable. It's not imaginable. And then you can never be sure that eventually you are going to come out. It's impossible to be sure about it. And that's why the response is قُلْ أَتَّعَذَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَحْدَى. Is there a promise of God in that respect that you have it with you? قُلْ أَتَّعَذَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَحْدَى. So, I think the explanation is clear about why people go to hell, why they come out of it. However, of course, there are some who remain there forever.
Why can't God help those people? That's all right. The argument that the Christians are using, that it contradicts God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
If God was truly merciful and His mercy was limitless, then, okay, fine, I can understand the concept that you need to go to hell to repent. But then, why can't He help you enough so that eventually you will realize
how should His help come through? I mean, you have to be receptive of help, isn't it? But if you want to reject it, I mean, we have a hadith, it's a very interesting hadith. Sometimes, this is of course a metaphor, sometimes God actually takes the cup of Jahannam to breathe in mercy. But the sinners there, they say, put on the cup, we don't want it. We don't want that mercy to come. Because they are so arrogant, the soul cannot receive it. Well, it is of course possible that they are completely destroyed, in this, their souls are completely crushed or go into destruction. But this is not how God would treat them. They are treated in a way that their soul would remain and gradually come out. Yes.
So what you're saying is it's not because of the lack of God's mercy, but because of the lack of receptivity.
God. There's no reception. It's just like this world. You see, God's grace is everywhere and can reach everyone. However, you do not want to receive it, and that's all. How should God help us? It's a law which is equal for everyone. If you open your heart, you receive that grace. If you don't open it, you can't. Yes.
When you ask this question, why doesn't God help? It's the same question as why doesn't God make a person good? And if God did that, it would become an angel, not a person. A person has free will.
And
that means that you have to make that decision yourself.
Then you are not human being anymore.
No. I mean, angels are those creatures that God has made you. There's no way they can become anything else.
Yeah, true. Okay, now arguments. There are several stages of arguments which are mentioned for the Day of Judgment. Now, one argument or ihtijaj is argument of the sinners with one another and with the shaitan. So on that day, it's not the case that people only speak to God or God speaks to them. No, they speak to each other, they argue with each other and with the shaitan. Now, this type of argument is mentioned, of course, in many, many verses. وَيَوْمَ نَبْعَثُ مِنْ كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْذَنُ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ. The day we shall raise a witness from every nation. This idea of shaheed, I think we discussed that. The idea of shaheed and a witness which will come. And shaheed here doesn't mean the one who is killed in the way of Allah. It means a witness. ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْذَنُوا لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Then faithless will not be permitted to speak, nor they will be asked to what's the Arabic word? وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ. No, they are asked to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا رَأَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الْعَذَابِ. And when the wrongdoers sight the punishment, because they are dragged, taken towards hell, as soon as they see that punishment, فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْظَرُونَ. It shall not be lightened for them, nor will they be granted any respite. Now, this is of course not our concern. This is what we need to concentrate on. وَإِذَا رَأَى الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا شُرَكَاءَهُمْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا هَؤُلَاءِ شُرَكَاؤُنَا الَّذِينَ كُنَّا نَدْعُو مِن دُونِكَ فَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلَ إِنَّكُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Now, as soon as the polytheists cite their partners, they will say, "Our Lord, these are our partners whom we used to invoke beside you." It means that whatever you have worshipped will be present there as well. And as soon as they see them, they start to complain to God that these are the ones who destroyed us, who led us astray, but they will retort to them, "You are indeed liars." Now, those who were worshipped would come back that you are lions. And then وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَى اللَّهِ يَوْمَ إِذْنِ السَّلَمِ وَذَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. And that day they will submit to Allah, and what they used to fabricate will forsaken them. The same thing we mentioned before. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِلُ النفسها. The day when every soul will come pleading for itself, in with arguments, of course. Tujadilu means that they make an argument, they make a case in support of what they have been doing. They make an argument. وَتُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And every soul will be recompensed fully for what it has done, and will not be wrong. Another very explicit type of argument between those who lead people astray and those who are led astray. In Surah Ibrahim, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Together they will be presented before Allah. Now you might say again, there is a contradiction here, because in the previous verses we saw لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُنَا فُرَادًا. You come alone. Here it says they will be presented before Allah together. How do you solve this contradiction?
And together they mean the idols.
With each other. All of them. Will come with the idols and with other people. They all come at the presence of Allah. Yes.
Isn't this more physical together? The time when you're alone is actually your own your actions and yourself in terms of your accountability.
As I said, the loneliness there means that all needs are cut from you. And it doesn't matter whether you are alone or you are with others. All means are cut from you. So, although you are alone there, it means that you have no access to any means. However, you can be with other people. So, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا فَقَالَ الزُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. Then those who were weak will say to those who were arrogant, of course those who were weak and were led astray by the arrogant people and followed the arrogant people, and now they have to go to hell with them. So then those who were weak will say to those who were arrogant, indeed we were your followers. So will you avail us against Allah's punishment in any wise? Can you help us in any way? We were your followers. They will say, had Allah guided us, surely we would have guided you. We were not guided, so we led you astray as well. It's not our fault. It is the same to us whether we are restless or patient. There is no escape for us. Now those mustakbirin are saying to these mustadakeen, don't worry, all of us are going to hell. And whether سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا عَجَزَئْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيثٍ. And then Shaitan comes in, the chief of all misguidance. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Now it means that these people were now arguing against Shaitan. Why did you do this to us? Why did you promise us? You knew that this is the destination. Why did you told us otherwise? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. When the matter has been decided, Shaitan will say, indeed Allah made you a promise that was true, and I too made you a promise, but I failed you. Now what do you want to do? You want to chase me to hell? Okay, come on. You can't do anything. I failed you, I lied to you, and now you come to me. This was what I wanted. I wanted you to come with me to hell, and I wanted you to argue with me. Now you can come. Now, these arguments are not only between people. There's an argument between Allah and the people as well. In fact, Allah wants people to realize completely that they were wrong. So there is an argument as well. And people put the argument against Allah, Allah puts the argument against them, and of course their arguments are in vain. Now, وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ. When Allah, the day, He will call out to them, those who are the people of hell, and say, where are my partners that you used to claim? أَيْنَ شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. Then, when they start to say different things, they start to bring their arguments, and then it's just like a court. Allah would bring witnesses. It's very interesting. Allah wants people to realize themselves that they have to go to hell. And there's no way out. There's no mercy that they could receive. So, when Allah says, where are my partners? Now, it's not mentioned here, of course. They would reply that because of this, because of that, we had to worship partners for you. Then the witnesses would come. وَنَذَعْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا. We shall draw from every nation a witness and say, فَقُلْنَا هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. Produce your evidence now. After the witnesses would witness, then we say to the people, now produce your evidence. After the witnesses would speak, then what happens? فَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ الْحَقَّ لِلَّهِ. Then they will know that all reality belongs to Allah. It's only after this argument and after the witnesses come in, it's then when they completely know. And this still is after that exposure. This is the higher station. This is the higher stage on the day of judgment. Then they will know that all reality belongs to Allah, and what they used to fabricate will forsake them. Now, another verse which talks about this type of argument between people, ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. Then, on the day of resurrection, you will disown one another and curse one another. Now, this disowning, of course, is when argument happens between them. And you will curse one another, and the fire will be your abode, and you will not have any helpers. Now, this is a very interesting verse, although a long one. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا بِالَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. The faithless say, we will never believe in this Qur'an, nor in what was revealed before it. Whether it's Torah or Injil, we do not believe in any book. Now, but if you were to see when the wrongdoers are made to stop before their Lord, casting the blame on one another. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ. So it's just like a huge court. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who were abased will say to those who were arrogant, had it not been for you, you would surely have been faithful. Now, those who are arrogant will say to those who are abased, did we keep you from guidance after it has come to you? No, you were guilty yourself. Those who are abased will say, again to those who are arrogant, rather it was you, your night and day plotting, when you prompted us to forswear Allah and to set up equals to Him. They will hide their remorse. After all these futile arguments, then they will hide their remorse when they cite punishment. And we will put iron collars around the necks of the faithless. Shall they be requited except for what they used to do? And there are many, many verses. I just skipped them. You can read through all these arguments of people against each other, people against God, God against people, and you would see what type of course you can imagine on that day. Now, a very interesting thing is what we do next week, inshallah. Human beings and their shayateen go to the Lord together. When we lose faith, a shaitan would come and speak to us and wouldn't leave us unless we are so strong that we come back to faith again. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُخَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. If you turn away from remembrance of God, then a shaitan would come, would find you a very cultivated harvest for its evil action. So it would come and matches with you. And then it's very difficult to part from that shaitan. Now that shaitan will be with you all the time. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. But in a way, you will become possessed by shaitan. And then this shaitan and the person who is possessed by that shaitan on the day of judgment, they go for judgment together. They will stand before the Lord together. And then there are lots of arguments between them. Inshallah, we'll see next week what's going to happen.
Allah.
One thing, the Seer of Najib al-Azhar, have you moved back to Tuesday's event? So there will be nothing tonight, and inshallah, there will be on Tuesday tonight.